Did you see the Maram Kavod?
Yeah.
Everybody, did, Jeremy, did you send them that other piece?
I sent this morning. I don't have any of them still. So that's
okay. Okay. So first of all, I'll make sure I said something right today. Everything else, we're learning Kiddushin as the middle of a Pregashul Klali. So I'm very hesitant this morning about what I want to say. Although I think it's fair, but my job is to present the thesis, and yours is to destroy it. So that's always, you know. I don't know if you have that here. Like that was the old Yeshivish thing. Right?
The Rosh Yeshiva has to. Most of them are much more respectful than the Israelis.
Yeah, that doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't really exist so much anymore. Although once in Ma'alei Gibboah, I said, I'm going to give you the thesis at the beginning of the Shiur, and afterwards I'll show that it's not exactly perfect. Okay? But give me some slack. I'm just going. I said the first line, and everybody in the Beit Midrash was yelling at me. So I hope you bear with me. My interest in Dam Tulim in this context is a strange statement by the Rambam. Strange statement by the Rambam, which can be interpreted in several ways. The problem is that it's actually two Rambams, when you read them together, give you the full clout of what he's saying. So the first Rambam which I came across is the Rambam, it's number 10, number 10. Okay, so you have to see it in context. So I think maybe some of you will read the whole thing until the bold letters so we get the context and see how there's a bit of ambivalence in the Rambam's language, but no matter which way you take him, it seems to be a little strange. Okay, so who would like to read? Can somebody help me?
I didn't.
Okay. Kein kol hayoledet bizman hazeh, harehi ki yoledet bezov, v'tzricha shivat yamim nekiyim kimo shebi'arnu. Minhag pashut b'shinar v'eretz hatzvi v'sfarad v'ma'arav, shimrat adam b'toch yimei mila'ot, afal pi shirata achar shesafra shivat yamim nekiyim b'tafla, harehzo sofer shivat yamim nekiyim afer. Shivat Yonikim Achar Sheiv Sokadam, the Ein Notznin La Yemei Tohar Klal. La Kol Dam Shatir Eha Isha Vein Dam Koshi Vein Dam Tohar Akol Tamei, the Sofer Shivat Yamim Nikim Achar Sheiv Sokadam. Translate or keep going?
No, I don't know, unless it's the Minhagim Makom to translate. Everybody doesn't say that, right? So I think we can, right? Unless there's objections.
הרחבה בדין זה בימי הגאונים נתחדש, והם גזרו שלא יהיה שום דם טוהר כלל, שזה שהחמירו על עצמם בימי חכמי הגמרא, אינו אלא ברוב... שזה שהחמירו על עצמם בימי חכמי הגמרא, שאינו אלא ברוב אדם שהוא תמי שיושב עליו שבע נקיים. אבל אדם שתראה בימי טוהר אחר ספירה וטבילה, אין לחוש לו שאין ימי טוהר ראויים לא לנידה ולא לזיבה,
Okay, so the Rambam says, don't be confused with Rabbi Zera, it's not relevant to Dam Tor. Okay. But what would be the din of Dam Tor in general, in spite of that? You still need Shivat Nekiyim, but not because of Rabbi Zera, but rather because of Takarat Gonim. All these things deserve our attention, but we're not doing all of these things. We're getting to the next line, but you need this background to understand the next line.
Mishamanu shebitzarfat bo'alim al dam tohar kedin hagemara ad hayom achar sfira tzvila mitumat yoledet bezov v'devar zeh taloi b'minhag.
Okay, so here now get to the line that seems to be a bit of a problem.
V'chein din dam betulim bezman hazeh shafilu haytak tana shelo higia zmana lirot v'lo ra'ata dam yameha. Boel beilat mitzvah uporesh. V'chol zman shetireh hadam machvat hamaka, harei hi tmea, v'achar sheifsok hadam, so feret, I don't know
where that's a mistake. There's a couple of mistakes. The thing is that until I print it out, I don't see the mistakes. For some reason, I have a blind spot for the mistakes. It's a mistake, it comes from Project Shoot, it's a footnote of Project Shoot, to some information. And usually I catch them, but there are a couple of typos here that I didn't catch because I said ayin somewhere that doesn't belong and a bunch of other things because I didn't print it before I came to America. And then when I printed it, on the plane I saw there were a bunch of typos, so you will have to forgive me. Whenever I do a shiur kali in yeshiva, I always print it and then correct it because I don't see, for some reason, I don't see the mistakes on the... Okay, anyway. Okay. So... What does the Rambam mean? Yes?
It's Talia Minhag, and our Minhag in this matter is that she has to wait 7 days.
Yeah, okay. Where did you get that from?
Where did I get that from? The context.
I thought you were getting it from the Kesem Mishnah. Okay, that's fine. No, it's fine. Okay, so it's dependent on, it's because of the previous statement, right? The Kesem Mishnah says it. At one point in the discussion, because of the previous statement, you would think that it's dependent upon minhag. The Rambam actually says that the Rambam is pointing out that somebody who doesn't have this minhag is not so bad. But that's not what concerned me. That, I think, is all true. It's takarat geonim, and it's not necessarily applicable in all places in the world. Do you know about the Rambam and takarat geonim? Do you know anything about the Rambam and takarat geonim? The Rambam very often disagreed with the geonim. And Takanot HaGaonim. Sometimes he accepts them, sometimes he doesn't. And he has a whole introduction in the instructions of Mishneh Torah. He has an introduction of why he is allowed to disagree with Takanot HaGaonim. One of the things he says is that Takanot HaGaonim argue geographic by their nature. And even though he accepts his Takanot HaGaonim, he has heard that they're not accepted in other parts of the world, and that has to do with his general philosophy of a general approach, I would say, not philosophy, approach to Takanot HaGaonim. Okay, that he has a whole defense of his own ability to disagree with Takanot HaGaonim. So there's a general background here. However, that's not what concerns me. What concerns me is how do you read this? V'chein dam tulim b'zman hazeh she'afido. Which dam tulim is he talking about? How do you read that? There's a radical way of reading it, and there's I would say a more palatable way of reading it. What dam tulim is he talking about? Is he only talking about Tana, Shilo Yez Mana, or is he talking about all Dam Tulim? What do you think? Yes, anybody? I don't know the names, so you'll just have to jump.
May I say all?
You say all, okay. Anybody beg to differ? Yes, Harav Jeremy.
When you're asking, I'm trying to answer a question. In other words, you didn't read the earlier line, but you can't read this without the other.
The radical reading would be that afilu yes mana derot dam tulim mi kar hadin is still Dam Tohar.
Virata?
No, lo virata, higias mana lerot. Okay? Even higias mana lerot, tanashi higias mana lerot, even then dam tulim. It's real weird, right?
It's a radical.
What? Because there he says, you could read it this way. V'chein dam tulim v'zman sha'afilu, that's the explanation of what dam tulim. Or is he saying dam tulim b'zman hazeh of all ktanot, whether ben yizman nerot, afilu lo yizman nerot, is not mikar, is only takanat goni.
But wouldn't he say then afilu ktana sheigiyazman, if he was going to use the afilu to teach the most radical case, he'd say afilu ktana sheigiyazman
lerot. No, wait, what is the Rambam's point? Asur or mutar? What is his point? His point is asur, not mutar. He wants to say it's asur, we take it out the gonim, afilu lo yigiyaz man alerot. Right? But the question is the subtext here that all dam tulim afilu yigiyaz man alerot of tanot, only of tanot. Afilu yigiyaz man alerot is still only because of take it out the gonim. And he's only saying afilu, like this isur is afilu lo yigiyaz man alerot. But he thinks the whole concept of dam tulim in tanot is only Takanat Gonim, yes.
I mean, if that is the reading, what would indicate that to us here? What? I mean, over here, there's no indication that he's splitting. It seems like we don't know. We don't know his opinion, maybe, but there's no indication that he's saying that Mikar is going to go one step forward, further and still be Mutar in that case.
Because his context is to say it's Asur. So he's saying it's Asur Takarata Gaonim Afilo. Lloyd Yezman on the road. Okay, yes, Rav Jeremy. Yes. It's very weird for me to say Rav Jeremy because of the Hebrew and English. Do you have a Yiddish nomen? I don't know your Yiddish nomen. What? Yiriyah. Yeah, that's amazing. Yes.
In other words, there are three possibilities in terms of what is din and what is min. One is that the maskana of Rav Yochanan Shabbat Shemotet, all Dan Metzulah is all be left itself for operation. And the second is that no, that only applies to and the third possibility is that in other words, either it applies even to Ra, if it only applies to Rebbeit Avi, or it applies to two of the three, but not to the third.
Right. Well, this is your best solution.
Why would you assume that such a position exists?
Okay, so we'll get to that in a minute. Okay, so in either case, first of all, that's why this is a little complicated. Because first I want to show you, everybody was upset with the Rambam, meaning all the Achronim were upset with the Rambam, starting with the Kesemisha, who finds a way to explain the Rambam. But their problem with the Rambam was based on the reading of the Gemara, And their reading of the Gemara, this shiur, I put my Rebbe's words on the top. That he used to say, Rashi didn't have Rashi. The reason I put that is because this shiur is methodological, but it's not methodological like I usually do, pulling about the Gemara. It's just, let's read the Gemara again. So we're going to read the Gemara again. There's a problem there. That's why I sent you something else this morning. The reading of the Gemara by everybody was the reading of Rashi. The reading of Rashi makes the Rambam, even with the minimal reading, which is only Tana, which he didn't have in mind to say that Tanasha Yezmanalerot was only Takanat Gonim. He only meant the first option, the less radical option, which is Tana Sheloy Yezmanalerot, which is really going far, that's only Takanat Gonim. But even that seemed implausible to most of the Achronim, and to the Ravid. The reason being that the Ravid, as usual, like many others, read the Gemara according to Rashi. So let's go back to the Gemara for a minute and read that one portion. Yes?
I guess what I'm challenging is that if you're pulling a more radical position, is the less radical of the other two. In other words, and I'm jumping ahead, but some Rishonim read it as qualifying everything in the Mishnah. But the alternative is that it's only on the last Piskan in the Mishnah, and therefore it only qualifies the
right,
last.
Right, so then that's it. I'm finished. We finished the shiur. Did everybody hear what Rav Yirmi said? How's that? Everybody get that? No, the reason that's not obvious is because of Rashi. What you just said is not obvious because of Rashi. If you look at the heading of the Gemara, we'll do it in a minute, and I'll let you summarize. You just summarize.
I want my guys to understand something. It's not that I have such insight into this. I've read the Bom Beis Yosef on the Synod, and he makes the point explicitly.
Yeah.
In other words, he makes the point explicitly as to what the Nekudas on the Locus is. Between the Rambam and Rashi. Okay.
Right.
I'm not saying, I didn't...
Yes, right. So that's why, it's all true, really, it's the Kesef Mishnah, it's also in the Beit Yosef, and it's even this morning, I did something I never did in my life. No, maybe once before. I always say to the guys, what do Steinzels and Schottenstein have in common? Otiyot Satan. That's what I say. Yeah, I opened Schottenstein because I was curious as how his sikkum, it's really good, by the way, his sikkum and sugiya, and he does exactly that. Okay, but the reason that, so here's the thing, so that's why this shiur is different than other shiurim, because this shiur is not about some big shiur, it's to show you the underpinnings of how this came about. In other words, it's not something, if you read the Kesemisha, he got it. But it took him a long time. The reason it took him a long time was because Rashi's Perush is so, it's been canonized. You know how many times people say, even in Achronim, even in Shuvas, they say this is a Gemara Foreshet, and it's not. It's Rashi. Even I fell into that trap once. With an argument, I had an argument with Avi Walfish. We're walking down the. They visited me for Shabbat, it's like 30 years ago. And he had an argument with. Do you know about Dr. Avi Walfish? Teachers there today, so you know the place. So he had this, and he said, I said this, the Gemara says this, he said the Gemara says that. And we got home, and he was right, because I was quoting Rashi. Because I said it was the Gemara. It's all right, you're saying it's Rashi, but I thought it was the Gemara. He even said, so, and the Gemara does it all the time, right? But the Gemara sometimes, the Gemara quotes something as if it's a Memra or a Bright or a Mishnah, but it's not. It's the explanation of the Gemara in that place. Sometimes it's a V'tani Allah. Sometimes the Gemara said V'tani Allah. In other words, that's one of the things about Torah Baal Peh, that an explanation, when Torah Baal Peh, because it's nature, it's being parshanut, commentary, sometimes the commentary becomes the text itself. Sometimes it's even written in the text itself, as you know. Right? You know, how long have they had you?
You think about the editing of the
Gaonim
that's slipped into the manuscript.
Right. So the later things, comments are slipped into the manuscript. Comments of Rashi's Talmid back in Skokie days, of Rav Blau, who put out the Rambam, came to Skokie, and he showed us a bunch of cases where Rashi isn't understood because there's comments of this Talmid that were put into Rashi. Right? Way back when in Skokie days. It was an amazing thing. He was amazing. He wrote a bunch of sheets. Nobody did things like that. And all the sheets showed were Kitz Ve'yad of Rashi and how things... So that's not exactly a mistake. It's a mistake in a certain sense, but the commentary is part of Torah Baal Peh. It's part of the process. So Rashi's commentary here became so prevalent, even though it... So the advantage and the difference, the disadvantage to what Rashi says. Okay? When I finished the story, Actually, when I got on the plane, because after I put this page together, I went back to Kedushin. And then on the plane, I said, but I have something to project. I have to figure out why Rashi explained the Gemara the way he did, because it's not the obvious way of explaining the Gemara. Okay, so I tried to put some thought into that this morning. I'm not sure I solved it completely, because it's not the obvious way of understanding the Gemara. But for everybody else, after Rashi, it was the obvious way of explaining the Gemara, and they had to re-understand the Gemara only because of the Rambam. Is everybody following me? Okay, so now let's read just the Gemara and the significant portion of Rashi. Okay? So going back, where do we have to start from? It's enough. We don't have to read everything. We'll read line 1 and from line 14. Okay, so line 1 is the heading. The heading that appears, you know, the heading's a big question. You know, the heading's in the Kitzvah, yeah, everything, the heading. But the heading is Ratav Oda. So in what part of the Mishnah is this portion of the Gemara? Lichoa, what would you think?
The third part,
yes. So, okay. So then we have the statement by Rav Shmuel. 14. Who wants to read?
Rabbi Shmuel de Amri Tarvayu, Alakha Goeli Ilak Mitzvah Ufokish. Matev Rab Chista, Maase Benatam
Lalam. Right, so what are they saying? Wait a minute, what's that all about? In the context of the Mishnah?
Assuming, reading as minimally as possible, we say that we pass on like Beit Shammai in the third statement of the Mishnah, Rata Vodav Beit Aviha, Goeli Ilak Mitzvah Ufokish.
Okay, is that clear? Very good. Mitzvah. Okay? So that's the minimal way of understanding it. At least in the third instance of the Mishnah, we paskin like Beit Shammai. Okay? Don't ask me now how we paskin like Beit Shammai. That's a different shiur. I have a whole shiur about how many times in Shas we actually paskin like Beit Shammai. Very prevalent. Right? But you think that we don't paskin like Beit Shammai. And also many places that we paskin like Beit Shammai, we explain according to Beit Hillel. Most of Perkira. A lot. We paskin like Beit Shammai, but we explain it according to Beit Hillel. The Gemara will then explain it. Something that we pass on, something we say, it's only gzerah. But if you look at it, the psak itself, it's not a gzerah, it's Beit Shammai. But the Gemara explains it being a gzerah, so it will fit Beit Hillel. Many, many cases. Okay.
The Gemara does here, I guess.
Yeah, possibly.
Mati Rebbe Chista, Ma'asev Natan La Rebbe Arba Leilot Mitoch Shneimas Archodesh. Amar Le Rava, Haduri Apir Chalamali, Otibi Matnitin. Usel Bar Ma'asev Rav.
So let's stop here. I'm skipping purposely the discussion of what the Maaseh Natan Rebbe. We're going to go back to that in a minute, okay? What would you assume at this point in the Gemara in terms of Psak? We pass on like Rav Shmuel, we don't. What do you think?
We
do or we don't? What do you say? 1-4 once again. Who's does everybody's clear to everybody? We pass on like Rav Shmuel. Yeah, because why would you say? Let me use this terminology. Mitartsta. We solved the problem. Is that right? Does everybody agree with that?
It says in who. The like they passing like Rotina, but that's not.
Yeah, very often we say, when we say, so and so is like so and so, it means it's not halacha. Very often. So it's a little confusing. And on the one hand, the Matar stuff. By the way, it's very often arguing between Shnei Ashkenaz and Shnei Sefarad. When the Gemara says something like that, we say, oh, we figured it out. They're okay. We're okay. We're okay. Right? And then the Rishonei Sefarad will say, no, we're not okay. It's like Shnei Tchuka, we found somebody, they're okay, but it's not the Halacha Psuka. Not so clear. Yes, somebody had a comment here.
I just think that in this case, since Rebbe is not in the Mishnah, there, the Rabotena that's being mentioned over here is, it seems like, a comment on the Mishnah. Follows the Mishnah, we're going to be more Machmir. Rebbe's opinion is left out of the Mishnah, so when we answer up that opinion, I assume that we go back to this, opinion which is more tied to the Mishnah. And yes, that happens to be more Machmir,
I don't know if that's relevant when they say, the problem is the wording. That's fine. Technically, they're okay. But the wording is a little strange. They say, the wording is, Inu da'avdu k'rabotenu. That kind of wording is, like that kind of terminology very often means it's not halakha. At least in Sephardic readings of the Gemara, early Sephardic readings. Inu da'avdu k'rabotenu. Okay, yes.
But it also says that the Tanya Rabotenu chazru v'nimnu, which sounds like we had a halakha, presumably our Mishnah, they went back on it.
Yeah, I know. You're absolutely right. Yes, that's why it's ambivalent. Because on the one hand it says chazu v'nimnu, which very often means that's not a chapsuka. And the other hand it says inu da avdu kerabotenu. Right? So it's ambivalent. Right. Okay, yes.
Do we have any sense of when these avotenu were, or before Rebbe, at the same time as Rebbe? Anyone know?
No, I have no idea. Do you have any information there? Rebbe? I don't know. I don't think. Well, okay. Good point. So here's what should be done, but I'm almost sure it will lead you nowhere. Yeah, something like that. Okay, but also the other thing is, the other thing you have to check, which I don't think I did, what you should do is this very simple. Just check whether or not this is only a Babylonian Braita, or whether it appears in the Tosefta somewhere else. That's the first step. Whether it's only their tradition, or whether it appears in the Tosefta. Tosefta, Yerushalmi, very, very easy. Very easy, you school Professor Shreki, your dear friend, or the shoot, right? No problem. It's easy to check.
I think it's clearly not in Yerushalmi. At least that would suggest, because it's not in the Sugya Brachos, and we don't have Yerushalmi here.
Maybe somewhere in the Tosefta, maybe. I don't know. And it doesn't happen in the end. Like in my shiur, it's checked on hand, right? I don't know what it's like. Everybody has the shoot available, and they just check it as you're going along. Can you?
It'll take a while.
Okay. So, the online version is no good. Yeah, it's so well known. I don't think Professor Shreki did it. If he had done it, it would be okay. I'm involved with this project. Are you aware of this project we have? We have a project to have all the Kitvei Yad online through Friedberg. Right? Not all the Kitvei Yad are in yet, but all the Kitvei Yad, the Talmud, including fragments, are going to be online.
I mean, that's just taking Lieberman's CD.
No, it's not, because it's, as Shama Friedman said, my students make a lot of mistakes. They're doing it again, better, and not only that, you'll have the possibility of pushing a button and seeing the Kitvei Yad itself, And also, it will color for you the difference between the Kitvei Yad. So now all the, only Rami Mishivot will have something to do in life because the academics, their apprenticeship is finished. The computer will do the work for them. But for us, it's great. For us, people who want to learn, it's really great. Because it'll show you immediately the difference between the Kitvei Yad. It'll be very easy to know which Kitvei Yad is which Rishon. And very, very good. Very useful for us. Yeah, so anyway, but it's not up yet. Only parts of it are up. It's not completely up yet. Anyway, that's Professor Shrieky. Those are his ideas. He's an unbelievable person. Okay, so let's continue. What? Yeah, okay, but what about in our instance?
Well, there's a correlation is only also in
Yeah. Okay, so it makes it even harder. It makes it even harder. When you only have the one sighting, it makes it much harder to know what's going on. Okay. So, let's read 21, 22, 23.
Okay, quickly. אמר לה רבי אבא לרב אשי, אלא מעצה בעל נפש לא יגמור ביעצו. אמר לה, אם כן, ליבון הכל פרש.
Okay, so now we're going to stop for a minute and just ask you what Ula is talking about.
So,
what's the case?
Assumedly, it's at least the first part of the Mishnah.
At least the first part of the Mishnah. Okay, and what was their conclusion?
Their conclusion was, well, we don't have separation.
Well, it says, Misayim Bahachi. Somebody says that the conclusion was, well, we don't have mitzvah b'poresh. Okay? And then we have Rabbi Abba saying to Rabbi Ashi, Yelamata Baal Nefesh Loig Mor Biato. Okay, so I want to show you the trouble that we get with learning the Sugya in Rashi's way. The trouble you get into. Okay, how did Rashi do this? So, yeah, look at number 5. Halacha boel b'tam b'tam mitzvah poresh.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So they're not talking, he's not talking about the last case. Talking about something wider. Yep. Something wider, not just the last case, right? Rashi's original explanation of Hachab Boel Bila Mitzvah, Ben Higiyas Mana, Ben Lo Higiyah. So Rashi assumes that it's the whole Mishnah. The whole Mishnah is included here in their Psak. And then when we have Ula and Misaimei, that is the conclusion of the Sugya, very clear cut. So then, if you read Rashi, what do you say? Dina de Gemara.
The entire Mishnah is well beloved and so far.
Yeah. Which is our halacha. Right? The entire Mishnah is our halacha. That's all. So pasuk. That's why everybody found it very difficult to understand what the Rambam was talking about. Even if you take the Rambam in a milder way, it doesn't seem to fit it because everybody read the Gemara according to Rashi. Yes.
Ah,
right. Quote the Lord. Quote the Lord. Yeah, according to Israel, that's what they're saying. They didn't get anything out of it. They ate it. They got looked Muslim, they spent time in, and they had to starve themselves with booze that they didn't get out. I didn't think of that at all. From what? Okay. So now, so the Rashba was aware of the difficulty here. Okay. So, first of all, the Rashba accepts. Yeah, I don't remember. Do you remember?
No, I don't think that's what this is right here. No, the Krama is that. What do you know what the Krama is?
Threshing floor.
Right. No, the Krama is, I think, a field that was planted.
Yeah.
There's nothing grown in yet, so the fox goes and gets nothing out of it. That's all.
So what were you talking about? I don't remember the fable with the facts.
There are examples of
Aesop
fables, similar power to Aesop fables in the Gemara.
Yeah,
I'm
just asking whether that is
going to
be
true.
Yeah, that is going to be true.
And what was it? What was the story of the fax and Abel Smith? I don't remember. Excuse my ignorance.
He was hungry, but he tried to get grapes, but then he realized the grapes were sour, so he just
he couldn't get them, so he assumed that they were sour.
That doesn't seem true. Okay, anyway, okay. So look at the Rashba. Look at line 12. Look at line 12. Wait, first of all, number 4. How does the Rashba understand the Rishami? Rishami nam aminu kol ahi halchad resh pir kol ahi halchad resh pirka achina denida lealacha aval lo lemaaseh. That's the way he reads the Rishami. That's his summary of the Rishami. Okay. First of all, he understands the Gemara according to Rashi. Second of all, he says the Rishami says all this is not lealacha. It's not lemaaseh. Second and third of all, he has a problem with the sugya. Look at number 11, which is really a dibur, different dibur matchil. Who's reading? Yes.
Continue. Oh, Shema lo yiv ol klal, porish mimena legam, rebe nimtza, vasel mipir yadur yidya. Tzmi ali, mai kashi lei, adur avotinu, tzvei mitinoket, shi yigia zman alir ot, viratat, dimaznitin. Ze ahi nami letla, elabi ila pesla. Yish lomar, ze shani hachak, de kevan shalo yigia zman alir ot, chashashay teirahi.
How does he get into this problem? He assumes that the Gemara is talking about what case?
The Gemara is talking about
all cases, including the case of Shaloi Gezman Lerot, and that's what made the complication for Balei Nefesh. He said, wait a minute, even if it was only about Tinoket She Gezman Lerot, it would still make the Balei Nefesh be Poresh. So he has to say, very strange thing, I think religious thing, I don't like it so much.
Rabbi
Shai used to say about that, I don't know about religious thing, but they say, he used to talk about the deed and the hekef of the deed changes how choshesh you are. Right? He has to work that out, because he assumes the Gemara is going to Rashi. And therefore, he assumes that the problem, that what creates the problem here is the chumrah relating to Tinoket, She, but yes, mother wrote. Yes.
Why couldn't you just answer that in a Hinami that would have been a question, but that's not our case, and so he's thinking more of
answering. Yeah, you can ask whatever, but I wanted to show you that it's not the simple reading of the Gemara to think that it meant Tinoket, She, but yes, mother wrote. I think the reading of the Gemara is Tinoket, She, yes, mother wrote. Okay? I think the simple reading of the Gemara is not Rashi, but rather, Tinoket Shigias Benalirot. Who read the Gemara that way? It would seem the Rambam. It makes it much easier to read the Gemara. And then what he's saying is, should be the question, actually is the question. So they go on a limb three times. First of all, Rashi goes on the limb because he says we have to explain why Rashi does it. He goes on the limb to say that it's even Tinoket Shigias Benalirot, right? The second time they go out on the limb is when they explain the Yerushalmi. There's some grounding for that. We'll talk about it in a minute. There's some grounds for that, but they explain the Yerushalmi also about talking about the whole Pirka, right? And the quote of the Babli, therefore, the whole Pirka, the paraphrase of the Babli, the Yerushalmi, is also the whole Pirka. And then the end of the Sugiya ends up being a little weird because it seems like that's the big Chidush that is. You look at Shaboygias, and that's what creates the problem. But who says it's a story at all? Okay, but you have a question in your eyes. Okay, so I think.
Why is that any? In other words, the concept of the Rashba is generated by the Gemara stating Elameata, right? What you assumed until now wasn't the question. Now that you claim that all be less mitzvah, now all of a sudden there is a problem. What difference does it make whether that was on everything or on, in other words, why is it better for the Rambam?
It's better for the Rambam simply this, okay? So now we're going to read the Gemara according to the Rambam for a minute. It'll make it, except there's one line that we have to explain, which I'm purposely skipping for the time being because we have to explain it, okay? The line I'm skipping, just so you know, because we have to get back to it, if we're honest, which is there's too many pages. Yes, I have to talk about the question of Rav Chisda. We'll get back to the question of Chisda. Okay, that's a crucial point. The question of Rav Chisda about the Dalet Leilot. Okay, so we're just gonna skim over that now. We're not going to pay attention to that. We're going to learn the Gemara according to the Rambam. But the Rambam says, I think the Rambam said that the heading of the Gemara is the right expression of the Gemara. So what is the Gemara talking about? What's the story here? What? Right. And that's the story of the sugiya. Then we have Rav and Shmuel who say, in that instance, they paskin like Beit Shammai. And then the question he asked, that we're going to skip now what the question is, because that's very crucial, but we're going to skip it for a minute so we get the gist of it. Then the Gemara says, oh, they thought like Rabotenu. So they're kind of weak now. They thought, because on the one hand, so it's ambivalent. It's not so clear. So then we bring the Masorta itself, and we say, what do we say? Misaimabad, the Babli says that the conclusion of the Eretzel Diyun is what? And then we ask a very natural question, which is not a question because of a Chumrah, but if you paskin like Beit Shammai, that in itself is a very difficult project. Because the Bale Nefesh won't be capable of doing that at all. Are you following me? It's a natural question. It's not a question because of some special case. No, you should smile now. If you don't, then you missed the point. Or you think I'm wrong. If you think I'm wrong, again, it's very simple sugya. It's not convoluted, big pupil sugya. It's very simple. We have a statement of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel's statement is weak because of a kushiya. That kushiya has to be discussed. Their statement has to do with Ra'ata Boda Bebet Aviya, the third part of the Mishnah. And that third part of the Mishnah, Ra'ata Bebet Aviya, then we have the statement of, and then Rabbi Shmuel said, we have a question on what they said. We say, no, they go according to Rabotenu. That's not enough of a clincher. So we bring the Eretzel Masoret, and we say Misaimaba. That Eretzel Masoret is assumed to include, to be talking about that case. And then we say Misaimaba. Then we have a clear halakha, Boel v'poresh, Boel v'yadzah v'poresh. And then that halakha itself, the Gemara says, wait a minute, that's very difficult to do that because of Baal Nefesh will be poresh. So a straightforward question, and not a question because of Sartu Blu. Very straightforward, yes.
So where's the word Tinoke in Ula's statement?
Okay, so for, let's go back to the Mishnah. Okay? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay. Based on the Rambam and Parakei.
What?
I'm asking based on the Rambam and Parakei, who appears to be quoting the Malek in the Mishnah between Tinoke and subsequent cases which are not Tinoke. Right, Rambam and Parakei, Visuribia, starts out by establishing. He has five cases. There are only two on the sheet, but he has five cases, right? Of Nara She Katana Shirata, Katana Shalarata, Katana Shirata, Nara Shalarata, Nara Shirata, and Bulgaria Shalarata. He doesn't bother mentioning Bulgaria Shirata because it's obvious.
Yeah, okay.
And he says in the
first. Yeah, did Mishnah talk about Nara?
The Mishnah doesn't talk about Nara, but Rambam does. Rambam is apparently reading the Mishnah. I
think the Rambam brings it in because of the other sugya at the beginning of the.
Well, the only one in which he reads in the din of, in which he incorporates the din of Rabbi Shmuel, is about Nara.
Yeah. Okay. No, I haven't gotten there yet. What is your assumption? Your assumption is that the Rambam paskin the sugya as it is. That's your assumption, right?
In Parakei?
In Parakei, it would seem that he passes the sugiya as it is, right? Is that?
Yeah.
And the conclusion of Sugya so far, what that simple reading is?
Well, it depends what how we understand the word Tinoke.
I'll step back a step, okay?
Let's
read the Mishnah. We'll read the Mishnah, read the Sugya, and then we'll get back to the Rambam in a minute, okay? The Mishnah, the Kotel is Tinoke, Sheloi, Gies, Menadarot, Ve, Nisef. Okay? Beit Shammai, okay, he gives Menadarot, Ve, Nisef. We're still talking about, in terms of the Mishnah terminology?
Tinoke.
Tinoke. Ra'ata, Bodav, Beit Aviyah, who are we talking about? The Mishnah terminology? Tinoke. Still Tinoke. Okay? Nara comes in through the Vav in the beginning. Right? But the Mishnah terminology, they're all called Tinoke. Why? That's a whole different kind of words, but the terminology Tinoke meant in their times is a whole, it's a big question. But the Gemara is talking about Tinoke, Vigyas, Menadarot. That's the case.
The three cases in the Mishnah then.
There are three cases. They're all Tinoke in their sense. Vigyas, Menadarot, what would we think?
Well, what
if he gives Menadarot, we would think.
Okay.
We would think she's a Nara Bulgar. But the terminology of Mishnah should call Tinoke if he gives Menadarot.
Wait, why?
Wait, what?
How do we know that? That's how it reads naturally through the text.
That's how you read Mishnah. Tinoke. That's just. Oh, I didn't tell you that.
Meaning,
I read things. The one thing is, I don't read things ever the way you could read them. I read them the way you should read them. What I mean is, I read them the simple way. I don't. You know what I'm saying? The first thing I do is I just read it simply. The Kotel of the Mishnah is Tinoke. All it means is that they have different terminology, right? It doesn't mean necessarily, right? And even the Gemara doesn't really say, he gives Menadarot, what does that mean? Is it Simanim? Is it? That's a big question. But their terminology is they call it all Tinoke. And on that, the Gemara says, Tinoke, he gives Menadarot. Everything it says in a simple way, it says, we pass him like Beit Shammai. Basically, passing like Beit Shammai, she gives Menadarot. Yes.
Unless Tinokes is simply defined by someone who's shloz gias manaliros, the second you do reach shloz gias manaliros, you drop Tinokes.
That's what I said. You could read it that way.
That I is very true statement. In other words, just from a language standpoint, the simple reading is Tinokes. Shloz gias manaliros, gias manaliros, and ras avod beis avi.
Just means this is beyond, but first of all, what I said up to now is exact. Now what I'm going to say is not exact. I think the meaning of Mishnah is Tinoke, it's just a young girl. It doesn't say Tana, it says Tinoke. I mean, it's not the same nomenclature. It's just a problem with nomenclature. It doesn't mean, right, when it gives Menadarot, it means something like what we would call Simene Bagrut, but it doesn't call her a Bulgaria, it just calls her a young girl, Tinoke. That's just terminology. Yes. You should read Riskers, but later on. Now, if the Lumbus comes later on, first just read it naturally. Afterwards, you can say, oh, great, but I'll have a point to do this time with the Tinokas. Okay.
Is there any other
space that Tinokas emphasizes like that? Yes, many times. Tinoke, many times throughout Shas. And I did prepare that, but it's easily done.
So we're reading Tinoke as, broadly speaking, any woman who's reasonably young.
Right.
So in that case, Kielubar or Yochanan Reish Lakish Vitinoke. See, if it used to be at the very least an odd formulation if we're restricting it to the third case of Mishnah.
Mitzuyan. That's one of the reasons Rashi, right? That's clearly one of the reasons Rashi thought, right? Like one of my problems was, okay, now we're at the Rambam, but what about Rashi? Like, you know, like Rav Chaim, unless he's got Rav Chaim. You see, Chaim did a lot of wonderful things. He did other things which are problems of life. But he did a lot of things. He made a whole mapicha. I know that in YU they tend to say it's Masoret, but you know that when I grew up, Rav Chaim was a radical, revolutionary kind of thinker. I don't know if you know about that. I grew up under the tutelage of Aaron Soloveitchik. The way the family described it was that Rav Chaim was a radical, revolutionary kind of London, that nobody before him ever thought that. I don't know if that's right either, but that's the narrative. The narrative that's a complete revolution. By the way, all the yeshivot didn't accept him at first, especially the Musa yeshivot. They didn't accept it. They thought it was a radical way of thinking it. But anyway, the thing he does is always very nice. And what he does is he says, okay, I explain the Rambam. Oh, what do we do about the Rambam? Right? At the end he says, oh, I've explained the Rambam, but my concept is, I've done it so well, what are we going to do about the Ravid? Right? So even though I have a simple reading which explains at least why the Rambam didn't think this was relevant to what you know, Shloki as Manah. Because he explained it all according to like the Kuteret of the Gemara, and it's a very close reading, and it's no problem. So why did Rashi explain it otherwise? So one tip-off is the word Tinoket, which he thought was wider. He even says Tinoket is the whole parak, right? That's one tip-off. There might be another tip-off for that, why Rashi did read it that way. Yes?
The question of Rav Chisda.
All right, Mitzvah. So now we're ready for the question of Rav Chisda. Wait, we're all right with the Rambam? Everybody got it? We're all right with the Rambam? The Rambam, at least, there's another point here which I have to, I think we'll get into. Another point, it might be to be more than that. But the first thing is the Rambam read the Sugya as ambivalence that was solved through the Yushalmim. Right? For some reason, the Gemara says Avdi, and then the next line says no, but the Yerushalmim has a clear Messiah, and we're all set with for Tinoket, she gives another one. But to the other case in the Mishnah, we still need Takanat Gonim to fill in the gap. We're still in with Takanat Gonim, but that Takanat maybe was not accepted in certain places. That's the case of Mishnah. We just helped the case of Mishnah. That's all we did. We just helped them out by reading the Gemara carefully and understanding how, and the reason it was difficult to get the Mishnah was only because first he had the Rashi in his mind. So in the end, you have a very nice little paragraph, which I saw this morning at the what is it called? The JCC, is that what it's called? The Jewish Center, or whatever it's called, the Jewish Center on 86th
Center.
I'm going to open Schottenstein for the first time in my life. And I saw that he has a very nice paragraph that he summarized the two opinions, like three lines. So I don't know if I should call him Satan anymore. Anyway, it's a Satan for the young people who need to learn the Gemara. If you read it, or some of you should need, that's a different story. Right? The problem is when people learn Gemara through those kids, they never learn how to learn. That's always, it becomes a crutch. Yes, go on.
For Rambam, so it sounds like he has to be going against Rav Shmuel entirely, against the Chazar Benim.
Right, okay. Mitzuyan, I thought you wanted to talk about that Mitzuyan. I want to talk about that right now, except that there's another problem, which is, what about the question from Rav Chisda? The question from Rav Chisda, because the Gemara interprets that question as dealing with, that's why I sent you this morning. Well, maybe we'll switch the order. We'll talk about you first, and then we'll get back to it. Okay, the question from Chisda, what was Chisda talking about? What was Rebbe talking? What was Rebbe's psak?
As a bogeret, or at least when they bring it as a kashya on Rav's assertion about it.
Right. Okay, do you have Gemaras? We'll do this very quickly, and this is only, I only thought about this morning, so it might not be exact. So if the first time it comes up is Amarav Bogert Notnim La Laila Rishon. Vahani Mini Shelo Rata. Rata in La Ela Bilat Mitzvah. Now we get the category of Bogert, right? That's when we get to the discussion of what age she is. Now we have this Bogert Shelo Rata, right? And in La Ela Bilat Mitzvah. Betula. Meti ve maaseh v'natan ha-rebi arba leilot mitoch yud bet chodesh. That's a question. So what is the assumption, the opening assumption of the Gemara? What is Rebbe talking about? A bogeret shelo ra'ata. That's what it seems like. And then the Gemara goes into the whole thing of Nara. That's how we get into, that's how all the differentiation of the Nara comes from there. That's what the Rambam puts, right? That's the theory of the Gemara, make differentiations of ages. Okay? But I don't know if the Sugiyah and some Hamubet is aware of all that Shakilavataria, but what does this have to do with what we're talking about? It's not only a question they didn't ask from the Mishnah. Why would they ask from Rebbe, who seems in the other to be talking about something else altogether? What is his context altogether? So what did they want from Rebbe? Actually, the Gemara itself asked, why did they ask from the Mishnah. So what is sort of like, what is like prominent in the words of Rebbe, regardless of what he exactly was talking about? Yes? Yeah, oh, no, you're absolutely right about that. I meant something else. You're absolutely right. The Yud Ben Chodesh is really weird, right, in this? Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know. I mean, no, everybody talks about it, what the Yud Ben Chodesh means. I think Gemara talks about the Yud Ben Chodesh means. Everybody else talks about what the Yud Ben Chodesh means. You're absolutely right. What is this Yud Ben Chodesh? What is he talking about? The usual, Martin? The Arba Leilot were, in this instance, over a long period of time. Right? Because every time, by the time she was able to have the time the dam was finished, it was longer. It took a long time. Okay? That's the usual way of understanding. It's really very cryptic. But what is the tip-off in Rebbe? What was the thing that was important? What words are typical of a certain shita? Regardless of what the Yud Bet Chodesh is. Who talks about David Leilot? Right, and that's why. Right, so it's Tinoket Shelo Igias Mana. So Beit Shammai say Tavad Leilot, and when do Beit Hillel say Tavad Leilot? Zman Leirot, which in the terminology of later terminology, what's Igias Mana Leirot? Nara Bogeret. Okay. So if he paskins Dalad Leilot in with a Narao Bogeret, what's the tip off? You don't get me.
You're saying that Rebbe is just paskin like Beit.
I think so. He said Rebbe paskin like Beit Hillel. The Gemara assumed that he was talking about a Bugeret, Shalom Tera, which is similar to the middle part of the Mishnah, and it's a tip-off that he passed like Beit Hillel. That's what the problem here is here, that they passed it like Beit Shammai, and he passed it like Beit Hillel. Then Rabbi said, because for him, it's clear that we always pass it like Beit Hillel, so he said, why don't they ask it directly from the Mishnah? And then the Gemara says, because Chazu Nimnu. That's, is everybody, you should smile, it's a really good reading of the Gemara. They pass it like Beit Shammai. They're quoting Beit Shammai. So what do you count? How do you counter that? So you counter that with somebody around their period and said, who passed him like Beit Hillel? How do we know he passed it like Beit Hillel? Because seems to be talking about the middle part of the Mishnah. And the middle part of the Mishnah, Arba Leilot, is Beit Hillel. Even though we don't know what Yud Bet Chodesh means, but Arba Leilot is Beit Hillel. And then the Gemara said, and then later on, Rava, who's clear that we pass like Beit Hillel anyway, says, why don't we ask for the Mishnah? And then we say, we don't, because we have a tradition that we pass it like Beit Shammai in this Mishnah. Yes?
I just understand what the for Rashi is. Why is it so that people understand Chris's question? According to Rashi, there should be, in the Masa, no situation except for all the less bits of
Rashi. Right.
So the question is obvious.
So that's why it works for Rashi as well.
Rashi is easy.
No, I was trying to read it according to the Rambam. That's all. I didn't solve the problem. I read all, I don't know if you noticed, excuse me. Wow, this is really complicated. I read the whole Gemara according to the Rambam, except for that one line. So I think, and Rashi, excuse me, that's the way I should have been. Rashi's reading is fine in that line, even maybe better. Right, so I have to explain how Rambam read that line. So that's what I did just now. If you read the context, that's why you didn't smile, but you didn't say there was a difficulty here. So how do you explain the Rambam? How did the Rambam, according to Rashi, it's not a problem at all. Right, but according to the Rambam's reading, what is the snooting here? So the only way you can understand that is to go back to the very beginning and see that Rebbe was understood to be exemplary of Beit Hillel. And then it comes a really nice reading, because then Rava says,
But even in the Rambam's reading, that's not a question. In fact, the Gemara gave the wrong answer. In other words, they weren't challenging the Pasuk like Beit Hillel normally. In the first two of the three cases, they just said, because Rav and Shmuel would have said that we agree, according to Rav's reading, we agree with Beis Hillel in case one and case two. We're, let's say, saying we pass like Beis Shammai. That's what they were really saying in case three. So then you're asking them a question from the fact that Rebbe passed like Beis Hillel in case two? One? What's the...
According to Rashi, it's all one big deal. That's all one, right?
That's why Rashi's better here. That's why Rashi's better, because Rashi connects all of them.
How would you solve the Rambam? By saying, what is the Gemara resorting to by pointing to the fact that we possibly like Bessel in case two? Rabbi Shmuel never challenged that. And the Gemara's parrot should have been Rabbi Seinu, they hold like Rabbi Seinu, it should have been, we only said by case three and not by case two.
Yes, you're right. However, what?
In other words, the question you raised very obliquely earlier, which is, does this sugya know the sugya on top of Samach, Dal, and Aleph, where the Gemara there clearly establishes that the Dal and Lelos fall out during a time of, well, I guess it's never clear that Rasa, but it takes it even into Bagra.
Yeah.
Even that one. The Maskana, the Gemara, may not ours, but either way, it doesn't solve the problem around a lot, even if you know that's in your
way. It doesn't solve the problem. I tried that. Okay. Good point.
Is it possible to take for granted that Rav Shmuel held like a Shammai even if you have the two cases?
They never...
No, but if you did that, you would lose the Rambam. Because the whole point of the Rambam is the whole problem of the Rambam is that you think it's not going to go in and out the Gemara. If you think that they meant to be read wider, right?
No, not necessarily that they would read them. I mean, because the halacha of the Os Mitzvah is only going on the third case, but they posted like being Shammai.
But then that statement is included here for the Gemara to be asking against.
Yeah.
Yes.
In other words, it would say, yes, another rod, which I mean, no, Dayah Rishon, but that never appears. In Rashi doesn't explain them that way. Rashi, when he goes further, says they're beyond Beit Shammai. Right? They're beyond Beit Shammai. They always say beyond Beit Shammai. The Rambam seems to think that it should be Beit Hillel other than the third case.
Could it be that Rav Chisda on some of Hayamabet is assuming that Beit Hillel is more broad than just the second case, that Beit Hillel might say that all women get four nights.
The Mishnah is pretty clear about the second case.
No, because the Beit says that in the third case, the women call a Laila Kula, not more than that.
Oh, that he's for sure working within one of the two.
Ah. Uh-huh. Could it be? It seems like less, not more, call a Laila Kula. Doesn't seem like. It's less, not more. Doesn't seem more lakudas, he's more lakuma. Rav Yirmiyah asked a very good question. Rav Yirmiyah. Is that all right with you, Rav Yirmiyah? That's a very good question. I have to think about it. My original thought was, it's sort of preempted by Rava. In other words, but that's like a pupil. I could say that really, that should have been the answer. But that's like how you say that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like that. Like you could say, really, that should have been the answer, but Rava preempted it by saying it's really a Mishnah. And then we never got there. That's like, you know, that's like weaseling out. I think question is better than that. I should weasel out. Everybody following me? You could say that really that, do you understand that pupil? It's only a pupil. You could say that Rav Chisda's question never really played itself out. Well, I could have played it out itself, but say it. They didn't talk about the second case, they were talking about the third case. But instead of that, we have Rabbo says, you should have asked for the Mishnah. And at that point, the Rambam no longer has to deal with that. Because it was preempted by Rava. So let's ask for the Mishnah. And then, right, that can be done. I don't prefer to do it that way. That would be just to protect myself from my thesis. I'd rather say, let's sit to the thesis than protect it in that weaseling out way. You see what I'm saying? It can be done. It gets done sometimes, but I don't think that's really the clear way of thinking about it. It was just preempted, and that's why I never, right? Okay, so let me think about that for a minute. I want to show you one of this, because if I think about that now, I want to show you something else. I'd like to, but I think it's a very good question. Right? So we still have a question on the Rambam. The truth of the matter, I had this question in my mind and I tried to work on it since I was on the plane and everything. And that's what I came up with, but it has a problem. Right? What did the Rambam do with that question? Because it with Rashi works much better. Definitely works much better with Rashi. Okay? So we have to think about that one. What did I thought that I had it solved, but I take it back. I don't think it still needs some work. Yes?
I think this is a little strange, but
it's impossible that what he does with the question to just accept it.
No, the question, why is the question relevant when he thinks that they're only talking about the third case? That won't help us. That might be true, but it doesn't help us.
Well, if he's reading it very radically, it's like Rebbe has, it's like, you know, you have Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, and
the
last case.
That's what I thought, right? That Rebbe, see, the problem is, okay, so here's the underpinnings of what the argument here. Rebbe Yirmiyah and I are, but I think I think he's right. I didn't read what Rebbe Shmuel brought. I read Rebbe brought. He said Rebbe's telling us halachas like Beit Hillel not only in the middle case, always in the last case, and then it contradicts. But that's stretching it. You know what I mean? So then Rebbe Yirmiyah said, but that's what he's saying. He's saying that halacha is like something like halacha. Not direct, but it seems to imply that halacha is like Beit Hillel in the second case. So now you stretched him to include the third case. You have to stretch somebody here. Rashi stretches Rav and Shmuel. That's why, other than the terminology of Tinoket, that's one of the reasons I did this, is to show you Rashi's advantage in this part of the Gemara, which I forgot to tell you. So it's a good thing that we're being outside. That's his advantage in this question. He has his advantage. How does he do that? He stretches Rav and Shmuel up. By stretching them up, he has this kushiyah makes sense. What I tried to do was stretch Rebbe down to help the Rambam. Is everybody following me? Right, there's three cases, right? The contradiction would be the third one, but it seems to contradict the second one. So what Rashi does is he stretches Rabbi Shmuel up, in spite of the cutting and the Gemara, to include that case. So I want to say Rebbe, in the Rambam's reading, was stretched down to include the third case, and we're always passing like Beit Hillel. So Rav Yirmiyah says, Ha'ikar Chasem HaSefer. Right? So if I was the old-fashioned, I would just say, like me or old-fashioned, I would say there's a problem with the Gemara. Something has to be stretched. One Rishon stretches it one way, the other stretches it the other way. That might be good. I think your box would probably say that. There's a problem. There's a problem parshanut here. So one stretches it one way, the other stretches it the other way. I don't like it. The Rambam should be clearer, or should be less dachuk. Is everybody following me? That's not good enough for me. So we have to go back to the drawing board. Yes, I want to show you one more thing, so quickly, food questions.
I just thought that maybe the Rambam is going further than that and not stretching at all. Meaning, he's not saying, Rebbe's opinion agreed looks like the middle case, and therefore it looks like we're stretching it down for the Rambam. But really, he's suggesting that Rebbe is even more mekel than the third case, and it's only
I call it stretching
the third case.
It doesn't say it, but it could be.
Well, that explains his opinion.
It explains the Rambam perfectly, so... We had proof of that. All you need is to prove that the Rambam read that in somehow that way. Yes?
I think maybe I'm going to have the Rambam read the Gemara. Remember the possibility that I question why you call something radical and not the other one radical. But unless I have to go back and read the whole Rambam, but if this is the complete Rambam that Parakeri presented, the Rambam understood the Gemara not going on only Ross of Odebabe Sabia, but not on the entire Mishnah, but only on Higias Ma'aliros, only the last two cases. And if it's going on the last two cases, because if you look at the Parakeh, who carefully, when he describes the Din Dam Sun, he only says, in Nisei's Kitana, Bein Lo Rasa, Dam Bein Sharasa. That's only the first case of the Mishnah. Because the first case is Lo Higias Mana. The second one is Higias Mana, which is Dam Lo Rasa. So he only talks about the first case of the Mishnah.
So the second two would be fine.
And the second two would work
fine
out.
Though.
That's why the
kasha
was
a kasha. Remember, Augustine, you know what Augustine used to say? I don't know if you can say it now anymore because of all kinds of things that happened. Bigilcha nishkava metzach. That's what Augustine used to say when somebody's that's too young, right? Is everybody here? Or do you mean I suggest that the Rambam read the heading as all the second two cases? Okay. So you just completed the thesis. So we'll write the article together. Right? So that's it. That's the clincher. Mitzuyan. Tadar Rabba. Because I was worried about this all the time. So that would explain it. The Ra'ata is the Koter. These two 12 second cases. And then the question is natural. Right? Without stretching anything. Following me? So and so. Love the earth. Okay, not the whole Perek, like Rashi, but rather, yes.
The problem is we have no evidence that Rambam actually said anything of the sort.
Why not?
If we look at in Perek Hay, there's only one case where Rambam works with Rabbi Shmuel.
No, in Perek Hey, he says that it's mutter by he lo higias maravos. He says
that.
He says more than that. In halacha yutet in Perek Hey.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Halacha,
I think you don't have the whole thing in front of me.
Right. So I look at the whole thing.
That's why I wanted to know.
So I look at the whole thing and say there, and he actually explicitly says in one case. Let me just find it here. This is talking about nisek shinara, etc. Vimrad dam beta bihav acharkach nisek in lo lavala ala bi lorishon uporich. That's the only case. He lists five cases, and those are the only. And of those five cases,
in which he says
boali let me spoke uporich is this case of nara. Rata dama beta bihav. It can't be the second case of
mishnah.
He said.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. That's what's not on the
Makaros.
That's why.
Yeah.
Okay, so that wouldn't make it possible. Okay.
What that makes it impossible?
In other words, all that's here on the Makaros. So if that were all the Rambam said, it was mutter. So then you could say he's reading Rabbi Shmuel and being pulled through, right?
Yeah, but he said the only reason on three.
The only reason on three. Clear earlier. That's what right. I couldn't say. That's why I prefaced my comment by saying, if that's all around.
Yeah, so that won't work either. That's why I didn't say, I think that's why I didn't suggest it originally. It's very hard to hold all this in your head. Okay, I want to tell you something else I'm not so sure about. But if you look at the Yushalmi, it's right there. First of all, I thought of myself, and then I saw the Aleik Amar, a very interesting individual. I didn't even know about him, but again, it was quite interesting to me. So, you look at the Yushalmi, it's not clear what the conclusion of the Yushalmi is at all. Because the Yushalmi says, the Bavli says the Misayme, right? And everybody read the Yushalmi going to the Bavli, but when you look at the Yushalmi, we're not going to do this inside because we don't have time, but when you look at the Yushalmi doesn't seem to have any Hechreya at all. Because if you look at it, it's true that Rabbi Yane at the beginning, first of all, we have Shmuel's statement. Shmuel Mar Kol Yichata the Reish the Pirkei Achirim the Nida the Alachav Alo LaMaaseh, which is seems to be reminiscent of the Bavli, right? Rabbi Shmuel Dami Tovayu, and in seven he says Kol Pirka, but what does he say? The Alachav Alo LaMaaseh. So what do you do? So the next thing that happens, Rabbi Yane Arak, Afilu Mitulaket Sheloi Gias Man there. What can he say? He's not willing to paskin. What does that mean? Not willing to paskin. And later on,
it doesn't mean that he would like be poresh after the first bia. That's how he read it. That he would.
That's how everybody reads it. Everybody reads it that way because of the Bavli. But all you have here are poskim that are. Look at line 11. Shalit le Rabbi Yosha v'shara mine. What we have a differentiation between Dam Midan and Bidum, which Rabbi Rambam talks about extensively. And then we have Tana Kalas Rabbi Tako Shiva Vasuli Tome Menekos Shavachat Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Then the Gemara says, my time at Rabbi Eliezer. Here, Shalom, it says Dam Midan and Dam Bidum. Is that Halachah Pesukah?
Doesn't seem like it.
Doesn't seem like it. It also seems like, oh, that's Rabbi Eliezer. So what's the conclusion of Yerushalmi? It's not clear. So then, I like to mention something really weird, which is he says, the Rif doesn't quote the whole Yerushalmi, but the Rif just says v'chulei. The Rif brings it up. So I have a feeling that there's something else going on here. If you look at the Rif says, okay, Avushua Shmuel Dami Travayu, Hitlata Boel Bila Mitzav Vresh, Tetanya, Tetanya, Nu, Shalor, Yeh, Shiyeh Boel Bila Mitzav Vresh. End of sugiya. Very simple, right? Very simple. What's the case? Like the Rambam, not like Rav Yirmiyah suggested, I almost grabbed, right? Rata, Rodal Vetavia. Right? So which case are we talking about?
Third case.
And then the Ripas. That's the Rambam. The Rambam is the Rif, as usual. Right? And the Rif. So whatever the problems we have with Rebbe, with Rav Kis, the West from Rebbe, whatever those problems are, the Rif had them too. I thought I had it solved. I don't have it solved, but the Rambam, of course, read the Rif. I mean, It's not that he did read the Gemara, but he's very strongly influenced by the Rif. So there you have it in a nutshell, right? You have the Rif in front of you, but then the Rif goes on to something else, really strange. And he starts quoting, he quotes the Bavli, Mosaimah hachi boel bilam mitzvah bin poresh. Okay, bitinoket, what does he think he's talking about in tinoket, in that case? What? Still seems like the third case. And then he brings in Yerushalmi. So where do we stand now? You following me? Because the Yerushalmi is ambivalent. So it's, okay, do you understand that opens a whole Pandora's box? Because you read the Yerushalmi without the influence of Rashi, you understand that Yerushalmi is quite ambivalent. The Rif is not that the Rif didn't quote the whole thing. The Rif, some so far wrote the Chule. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't know what, if it was like, Alei Tamar assumes that the Rebbe was only quoting one part, which is the more definitive part. Right, buddy? That's not clear. Maybe he quoted the whole Shura. Maybe he wanted us to end up with the ambivalence of the Yerushalmi. The ambivalence of what case? Okay? So, I want to say something not radical right now. I want to say that the reason the Rebbe brought that in was to show you that there was ambivalence about the other cases of the Mishnah. Which is exactly what the Kesef Mishnah says, right? But the Kesef Mishnah thinks that the Yerushalmi already was Asru. Remember that? He says, did you read the Kesef Mishnah? Did I read the Kesef Mishnah? So the Kesef Mishnah has this problem. He says, how can you say it's only Takanata Goni about the other cases? After all, it's already from the time of the Yerushalmi, right? And then he says, but Eloi Pasheta Minhag. And I think that the Rif and the Rambam thought that the Yerushalmi is an expression of the ambivalence of the poskim about the first two cases. Is everybody following me? Which proves their point that the psak was only about the third case and the first two cases were left open. Because they never passed in them. They just that's very weird. I mean, I can't do that. I wish I could. Sometimes. Sometimes you get a shine on the telephone. You say. Actually, I think my very often I have a lot of affinity with Alfred E. Newman. Are you young enough old enough to know?
Mad
Magazine, he said. Right, very often. I said, what, me? Like somebody calls me on the phone, this unbelievable question, right? And so what me? So I used to call Holden Poskim. Unfortunately, most of them are not alive anymore. The people that I would talk to are no longer alive. So now I have no choice, right? So I talk to friends. I talk to friends before if it's really my question, I talk to friends, people my age. But like, so that's what, it's really strange that they were mitchamek all the time. Right? Arak. Shara, all these words of what was the story there? But I think the Rif is that. I think the Rif, whatever we do with the sugya, the Rabbam and the Rif are one line. The third case was specifically passed by the Bavli. Those other two cases, there's ambivalence about them. So we're left with one question that I didn't solve. We almost solved, but it was wrong. Right? Was what does he do with Beit, with the question from Rabbi? You might accept two very poor answers. One is that he stretched Rebbe down. The other one is that he didn't have to bother with it because it was circumvented by the actually it's a Mishnah, right? But I don't think any of those are satisfactory, so we still have a question of how the Rif learned that part of the Gemara. You can't write it off. I mean, you could write it off. I don't think it's appropriate in this case. Now, what do you mean write it off? You know, the Rambam and the Rif before, they didn't think that all Shakta Vataya was necessarily pertinent. They didn't accept all Shakta Vataya. The Rambam doesn't say Stamma B'Shas, by the way. In the Chuvah Chomei Lulil, it's a question, it's an answer of Papa. But I don't think a major Shakta Vataya like this, I don't think they would just write it off. You following me? Like, he could write off an answer of Papa in Kedushin at the end of the Sugiya, the Papa gives an answer and he writes it off. But
I think he rejects funny Kimbas, but he does, but this is just something there. I'm got used to what the Gemara was talking about.
Right. It's not appropriate to write it off. I like to write it off. I like to write off things. In other words, I like to say, this is a stomach that I want to accept. And the reason, you know, I came across it by accident completely. And I was reading a short story back in ancient days, and I said, I could forget what Ram was talking about, and I said, what did I say? Let me think. I had no idea of the Chuvach Megolil, nothing. I was just looking at the Sugiyah, and I was trying to figure out what's going on here. I said, why don't I try? Maybe the Ram was a little ambivalent about the Shakta Vatari, the Stam of the Shas. I erased the Stam of the Shas. And I got the Rambam line by line, exactly what the Rambam said. And then I interrupted it to the shiur, like I was very naive. So I'm very shiv naive. So when the guy said, Bigman, don't you know this is the true Chumel meal? I didn't even know about it at that time. I just did it myself. It's amazing, isn't it? Man, sometimes not knowing something is an advantage. Because I saw how potent that methodology was. However, I think it's not correct. So we still have to go out to the drawing board, so we have room to thought, which is actually an advantage. So now you will write me, or through Rabbi Yirmiyahu, if anybody has a solution of how the Rambam had that, like a good one, not like a dachuk one, how the Rif in the Rambam, because now we saw their partners, and I think the reading in the Rif is right. He brought the Yerushalmi for ambivalence. So I can't, oh, Kesemishay did it right completely, except for one point. He thought that the Yerushalmi was not ambivalent, and therefore he thought that we had to say Lo Pashat HaMinhag. But I think the Yerushalmi in itself is a proof to the Kesem Mishnah, the Lo Mita'amo. Yes, next question.
Why doesn't Rashi just treat Tinoket not as a category and say the question of Rapista only comes on the second and third case? So you don't have to be Machmir in case one of the Mishnah, and you're only Machmir in cases two and three.
Okay, I didn't think about that at all.
But once you're expanding it beyond the Piska, it's in, why do you have to?
Yeah, and also Tinoket, right? If you take your two reasons, one was that it's better with Rebbe, and the other person said the terminology of Tinoket, so it sort of makes sense to just continue, right? The whole Tinoket, Mishnah, called Pirka, and all the terminology works better with Rashi. So that, maybe I'll say one more thing, halakha l'maaseh, okay? Just not halakha l'maaseh, halakha, think about the maaseh. So I've been asked the following question many times, especially in extenuating circumstances. What do you say about somebody who's on the pill at the time of Bidat Mitzvah? Okay? So it doesn't have to do only with this question. It relates to this question because this question has to do with how, what the Chumrah of the Takana is. Right? Goanim or not Goanim and everything like that. Right? But there's another question which is important regardless of the question is a good way of accentuating it, which is, are we really concerned with Tzitzuchei Nida? Are we concerned that there might be Nida? Or is it just a blanket takana when there's da? Following me, it has to do with a lot of different lishonot of keonim and rishonim. What was the takana about? Is everybody following me? What was the psak or the takana, depending on whether you're right? But that it has more to do with the content of the, rather than the whether it's really keonim or, right? But the content is very significant. So you have to ask about the first biya and the second biya. Because many rishonim say the kar takana was for the first biya. So what do you say? Is she sort of like a Tanash Shelo Grata when she's on the pill? What is her status? Is it change anything? Always extenuating circumstances, like Israeli extenuating circumstances, like they get married, he's a Chayal, right? And he's coming home very rarely, and he finally comes home for a long stint, and it's the Biashnia. We remake him because she's on the pill? Following me? Are you following me? It hasn't been handled too much, but it's a question I've been asked, because it's very hard for these young couples, especially in these I think in America, they have those kind of dire circumstances, which could have other dire circumstances. But the question is, Bishatat Chag, is there some way of using the opinion that it's Tzitzuchei Nida? It's an argument whether it's Tzitzuchei Nida or just Tzitzera. Is everybody following me? So that's what you should think about, because you're learning your Adana, you're going to be poskim. So you have to think about that. It hasn't been brought up too much present-day literature yet, but I think it's something to think about. I actually once asked some Chaim Sabato whether there was a chance that we could make it more and done with Kalim because of the pill, and he like, well, yelled at me. I don't think I deserve to yell at him. Something to think about. Carefully think about it. Yeah. He yells at you very nicely, by the way. The yelling, the Chaim Sabato is such a nice person, he yells at you, even when he yells at you,